If y'all want to stand and worship with us this morning, I just want to read a verse out of 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, "For this too you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. But when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins and his body on that tree, that we might die to sin and live unto righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were straying like sheep. We were all straying like sheep. But he returned, and we have now been returned to our shepherd and the overseer of our souls. I thank you, Jesus, for the gospel, the truth of the word of God, that you came and died for sinners like us, and that you redeemed us and made us a new creation by your precious holy blood. Every single song today is just about that. It's just about Jesus and his blood and his resurrection and his death and his life. And I just want you to cast your gaze upon him, to look to Jesus this morning and reflect on what he's done, and just not only in your life, but for humanity as a whole, that he did the unthinkable, that he redeemed the unredeemable. Thank you, Jesus. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Above all.
before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth.
Our measureless dead ones. Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read our opening text from verse 35 to the closing of the chapter, 38. I've titled this message this morning, "The Laborers Are Few." The laborers are few. I had mentioned previous of the praise reports and the prayer requests, the burden of my heart. The coming of Jesus is soon. The nature of man is dark. Amen. The necessity of the church, being the church, is greater now than it's ever been. You know, it took a lot for the first church to have the confidence to stand up and do what they did. And even with all of the unction of their zealousness and their heart for God, and their love for God, they could not do it in and of themselves. That's why in Acts chapter 2, at the birth of the new church, the new covenant, the Spirit of God had to fall upon them to give them the strength to do the will and the deeds of God. So I want to encourage us this morning, don't let my title fool you. I'm not talking about salvation through works or working really hard to be blessed by God. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is bringing a life of submission to God, allowing His Spirit to come upon us and do his work and his will in our lives. Amen? Folks, we need Jesus to do his work in our lives. We have to, in this time, this generation, Jesus has to do his work and his will in this time. Do you know who depends on it? Everyone. You know people are depending on you to know and to love Jesus? I didn't realize this when I was lost. I didn't realize this. But I had and have an amazing, God-fearing grandmother. Some of y'all know her, Theresa Roberts. Yes. Y'all heard of her? Saintly woman of God. And I've known it all my life. I mean, you stay the night at Mamaw's house. If you were lucky to wake up early enough, you'd catch her in her quiet time. You'd catch her when she was journaling to the Lord in her prayer time. And once you got up, she put her Bible down and she went and made us pancakes. That was a regular thing at her house. And I didn't realize this growing up because my heart wasn't turned towards Jesus. But I realized later, after I'd given my life to Jesus, I was 19 years old. I remember calling my grandmother just looking for wisdom because I know this woman's served God her whole life. And I just want to glean from that wisdom. I want to know what she knows. I want to experience what she's experienced. So I remember calling her and just asking her, I just need some advice in these things. I mean, I'm a new Christian. Where do I start reading my Bible? What should I be asking God for? All these things. And I remember my mamaw going into great detail of her love for her family. And even though as a kid, waking up and seeing her with her journal and her Bible and things like that, I never noticed the list of names that were in that journal. And it was all of her family and all of her friends and all of the prayer requests that people had brought her. She was laboring for people that didn't even know that they were being labored for. My name was on that list. She was praying for me before I knew that someone was praying for me. Amen? And so there's people in this world that are counting on you that don't even know that you are laboring for them in prayer. They have no idea that you're going to God with a burdened heart for them. They don't know it yet. But I want to tell you something. God knows it. And one day, like me, when I gave my life to Jesus, and I look at my grandmother and I go, all these years where I despised God, I ran from God, you are praying for God's love and his mercy and grace on my life. And God heard your cry. And instead of annihilating me like he should have, he heard the burden of your heart. And he reached his hand out to me. He saved me. And now we're glorifying God together. Folks, what a testimony of God. So some of y'all are products of someone else's prayers. I would never have known God lest somebody prayed for me. Amen? Lest somebody told me. And so I want to just go into this scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest. Father, we come to you this morning. We need a touch from heaven. Father, we need our minds to be lifted out of its carnality. We need our hearts to be lifted out, God, of our selfishness and our pride. And they need to be replaced by your mind and your heart, God. Father, that in these last days, God, in these last efforts to reach a world that is in darkness, Lord God, you have entrusted us to labor in these last days, God. So, Father, let us pray for one another. Let us pray for the harvest, God, that is coming in, that's being planted, that's being watered, that's being harvested, God. Let us be ready to work, God, in your will, under the subjection, God, of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Father, it's not our good deeds. It's not our good works. It's not things that we're able to do in and of ourselves. It is truly your power, your grace, your blood working upon us, God, that moves us in compassion to a world that is seeking hope, Jesus. And we all know, God, by your grace, you're the only hope for this world, because you were the only hope for us. So God, move upon us this morning, Lord Jesus. If there's someone here hopeless this morning needing a touch from you, God, I pray they find solace here. I pray they find peace here. I pray they find fulfillment here, not because this is a building or there's Christians here, but because you're here. I pray they find you, God. It's the only place that we'll find these things. So we look to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I read this text first. One, because I believe it encapsulates all that I want to share with us as a church this morning. But more than anything, I want us to understand, and I preached a message some weeks back called, I'm Not Like Him. I'm not like Jesus. My nature is not like Christ's nature. But I want to be like Jesus. Because if people can see Jesus in my life, man, they've got a better chance of heaven. Rather, if they meet Rafe, the pastor, they may not make heaven, but if they meet Jesus in me, their life could be changed. And so there is an everlasting battle in my flesh of submission to God. Constantly saying, God, kill this flesh in me. Work on me. Labor in me. The word says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. What he starts in us, he's going to finish in us. And I'll tell you, there's some things that got to be cut away from this nature in my life. And I'm grateful to God that he does it in grace and in love. Amen. Aren't you glad that you have a father that won't let you go blindly into darkness, blindly into hardship, blindly into trouble? He's a good father. He lights the path before us that we might not trip or stumble or fail. And this is what Jesus says. He says, as he was going through the multitudes, you have to understand, there were thousands of people that had heard that Jesus was doing miracles. Thousands. And they all came to Jesus, all of them with a need. All of them begging and crying out and shouting, heal me, touch me, come over to me. I need to be saved. I need to be delivered. I need to be... You couldn't imagine the voices that would cry out to Jesus. And as Jesus is walking in the earth by himself, the only one with the full ability to deal with everyone that has a need, he cries out in compassion. It says, as Jesus looked upon the crowd, he was filled with compassion towards them. Amen? Aren't you glad that when you come to church and you have a need, and you come and you say, God, I know there's been 1,000 prayer requests this morning, but if you have a moment, God, if you could deal with mine, aren't you glad that God says, I've had enough of your trouble? Aren't you glad he doesn't do that? Aren't you glad that he says, you know how many times you failed and you want this? He never says that. He says, come to me, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Are you thirsty? Come and get something. The well that never runs dry is here. That's the nature of Jesus. And Jesus says, but all there is in this physical form, in this moment, there's only one place they can come. So he tells his disciples with this compassion, he says, pray to the Father that we might have laborers, because the harvest, look around you, look at the need, that we need someone to help. We need someone with the heart of God, like God has given to me. We need somebody with the ability to call on heaven and rain down heaven upon them. He says, pray to the Father that this work that is going on in me can go on in you. And folks, when they believed on Christ, when he died for their sins and they were grafted in to the lineage of God through the blood of Jesus, folks, when we are Christians, we're born again, we are walking out the labor that Jesus bought and paid for. Not working in ourselves our salvation. No, the salvation is paid for. But we're walking out as laborers, compassionate, loving, looking at a world in all of its fullness and emptiness and going, oh my God, who's going to touch them? Who's going to reach them if I don't go? Who's going to be there? Who's going to tell them? Who's going to pray for them? Folks, I know people right now don't have no one in the world. Who's going to pray for them? But God's put them in our path. For what reason? That we might labor in love. That we might labor in God. That He might give us His heart to love them the way that no one could love them. That they might be touched. That a harvest might be reaped in God. Hallelujah. What an honor. What an honor to be considered. Read this with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Excuse me. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Hallelujah. In which once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, can someone just say that? But God, hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, listen to this, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His what? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's not about salvation and doing works for salvation, but when God is alive in us, He lives. That's as simple as I can put it. He lives. Folks, when I slam my hand in the door, if Rafe is alive, he's going to say a word that Jesus wouldn't say. I know I use that expression a lot, but if Rafe is living, you're going to get Rafe. But I'm telling you, if Rafe will die, Christ will live in me, and He will live in light of everyone. And that's what is being expressed in Ephesians. He's saying, let us, because we are so grateful of what God did for us, to be willing to glorify Him in our life. Let us work to be more like Christ, that those that don't know Him might know Him because they know me. Amen? That's the hope that God's put in us. We're just earthen vessels. I'm telling you, I'm the ugliest of vessels there is, but there's a great treasure in me. Because it's not of me, it's of God, it's of heaven. And folks, if someone's life's changed, it's not because Rafe acted out in compassion. If someone asked me for $100, Rafe would tell you to go pound sand. Ain't nobody got $100 laying around right now. But there's a Christ in us that says, if you're willing to give of yourself, I'm willing to give of myself. There's a hope in Him. I'll give it all away. What does this world offer to me? God says, put none of our hope in it. But Christ goes, listen, this is all I have, but all I have is yours. That's the nature of Christ. So you see, there's a radical difference in that. Now I want to go down a little bit in Ephesians chapter 2, down to verse 19. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we see that as God comes upon our life, He is working in us to be made more like Him. And as we come together, looking more and more like Jesus, a wonderful house is built. Folks, this church body is a wonderful, glorifying house of God where His Spirit dwells because we're knit together. You know that? Thank you for coming. You're a part of a glorious house where the temple of God, that's where He dwells in us as individuals, but also corporately. We are the house of God, and it is to glorify God. Know this. Anybody built a house in here before? Anybody paid to build a house in here before? Couple people. We got people. You know what they say? You'll only do it once. It's stressful. You know what the Bible says about it? No man who wants to build a house and doesn't count the cost. What does it say? You got to count the cost. You got to know that when you start it, it can be finished. Lest someone walk by your house when you've gone as far as you can, you've run out of money, you've run out of supplies, and they walk by and you be put to shame. You know what they'll say? They started off real good, but they just couldn't finish. They shame you. So we have to be consistently working with God to work in us. Because this house, it may look good this Sunday morning, but it still needs work, amen? God has invested in me His Spirit. And this work is not going to be completed until it's perfected at my end. Whether that be the rapture of Jesus and His church or my death. Only then will I find perfection. But while I'm here, Christ as the cornerstone, He's laying my life on His life. He's chipping away that which is excess and things that He doesn't want to shape me in the same shape as Him. And each stone is being laid one on another. Any masons in here? Anybody? Not the organization masons, but masonry where you lay block. Anybody ever seen that? That's a tough job. I carried block one time, 8 inch and 12 inch one time. I worked one day. That's all I could handle. We got done. They said, "You did a good job." I said, "I'm glad that you thought that. I won't be back tomorrow." It's tough work. It's meticulous. String lines have to be brought up. Squares have to be put in place. It's meticulous. All of it has to be right. Because if the foundation is off an inch, the house is going to fall. Everything after that don't work. I poured concrete for a living. Finished it. So if that block mason was off, we poured that foundation, and we were putting bolts in or things like that. Things got messed up all the time. Just little increments being out. Then the framers come in, and they go, "What are y'all doing? Y'all ever poured a house before? Don't look at us. It was the masons." Yeah, it's always the blame game. It always goes down to the beginning. But folks, if it's not right, all the way up, it's not going to be right. So Jesus said, "I'm the cornerstone. I'm not going to leave the responsibility of you to make yourself good, to make you right. I'm going to lay myself down as the example, as the standard, and I'm going to lay myself upon you, and I'm going to make you like me." Isn't that wonderful? Man, I don't even got to be nothing good or nothing bad. I just got to give my life to Jesus, and He begins this work that turns me from my image to His image. And then He begins to build on that. And then as people go, you're not the same as you used to be. You're right. I've had some things chipped away in my life. God has been doing something. Did you want to do that? Well, not at the time. I didn't want to do it, but I'm glad that I got rid of it. God's moving in my life. There's some free. I didn't even know that I could have. There's freedom here. And they're going, "Man, there's something different about you." Yeah, it's Jesus. And they're going, how can I get this? See, we've done, folks, it's not a 10-step program. Folks, how many books are out there today? A Better Life, 10 steps. Happier Marriage, 15 steps. Folks, it's just one step. Get to Jesus. Folks, I wish I could be a good husband. I can't without Jesus. There's no greater husband than Jesus. I wish I could be a good father, but I can't without Jesus. There's no greater father than God. So I lay myself down and go, "You know what, God, if it's left up to me, all the world is going to see is a passionate person, yes, but a very flawed person. So don't let them see me. Cover me that they might see you. Build your house in my life. Show yourself in my life." And you know what happens when you begin to make yourself like Jesus? People like Jesus start flocking around you. And then when a crowd builds, everybody wants to know why a crowd's hanging around. They're going to start wondering what's going on over there. Family Worship Center, y'all have a lot of people out in the parking lot. What's going on over there? You giving away something for free? We are. It's called salvation. Come on in, take you some. There's plenty. Amen? But folks, you're a living house for God, a temple for God. Not because of what we've done, but because of what He's done. He's made us in His image, and He's building upon us as we go throughout our life. He's counted the cost. He's paid the price. What He started is going to be finished. He is going to let His church glorify Him in the earth. Let the world turn whatever way it wants to turn. God will be glorified no matter how dark the night gets. So folks, we're in a good place. We may be fighting hell in our nation and as Christians and all these things. We may fight persecution, but let it come. Because we're going to stand in the midst of all of it. Because God is not going to let His glory be trampled on by the devil, by darkness. You're in the safest place you can be when you're in His presence, when you're in His body. I'll tell you what, you know where the wolves come? To the old lamb that's out there by themselves. That's where they go. So folks, this is the season where we got to gather together. We should be getting closer than we've ever gotten. I want to give us an example of this out of the Old Testament. It's one of my favorite stories and accounts, but it's Nehemiah chapter 1. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all 13 chapters to you. I could. It's so good. I'll break it down though. But I want you to see what I believe the heart of God is for us. Nehemiah chapter 1, we're going to read 11 verses. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. For the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord, God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now, I'm just going to summarize this for you just really quickly. Amen. Nehemiah is not a preacher. He is not a priest. He is none of those things. He is a cupbearer to a foreign king. He was given over, and this is his job. He's not even in Jerusalem. But what happens is he hears news that Jerusalem has been broke down, that it's been burned, and the walls have come down. Now we all know what Jerusalem is in the Old Testament, right? It's the city of God. It's the dwelling place of God's ark. The Israelites worship this place. And whenever Jerusalem was under siege, what did they always come from? It came from the fact that they had left God for other idols, right? And whenever the city was in ruin, it meant that the people were in ruin, or that their relationship with God was in ruin. And so you see in this type here, and I don't mean to talk in types and shadows, but you see in this type here that when Jerusalem is broke down, the people are scattered from God. Their hearts had already left God before the walls came down. And so God's judgment came upon them. I would just like us to think about this in today's terms. Folks, our churches are divided. Do you know that? We're divided by traditions, religions, opinions. We are divided in all areas. We look at other people and go, you do it wrong, that's why we don't join your church. We do it right, we dress better. We this, we that, we have this Sunday school, whatever it is. But there's all these things that come in that divide one another. And it is divided. And I would just say, the state of our nation, the state of the body of Christ is in ruin. There are more people that don't want to join the church, not because of any other reason, but because they don't like the church. They don't like its people. Because their people aren't really worshiping God. They're worshiping tradition. They're worshiping religion. They're worshiping idols of other things. Their hearts aren't really compassionate about Christ. Their hearts aren't really compassionate about God and the things of God. There are agendas. There are policies. There's politics. There's all these things. People despise that kind of stuff. They say, what happened to Jesus? Where did Jesus go in the pulpit? When you used to come to church way back in the day, Jesus was preached in the pulpit, but not anymore. Now you come, it's a type, it's a shadow, it's a prosperity message, it's about how you can be better. I can't be better. Give me Jesus, I can't be better. I can't do that in myself. But we have that across our nation, and the power of the Church of Jesus Christ has dwindled. The enemies of Christianity are conquering. Folks, there's an argument against Christ, and that argument is winning in this generation. And the church is allowing it to win. Because we would rather be divided, we would rather worship idols, we would rather boast about what we can do in our own strengths, that we won't come together and rebuild the walls of our spiritual Jerusalem. But it says that Nehemiah, when he got word and he heard that Jerusalem had been broke down, that the gates were burned, that he broke down and he wept. He said, what is this that's been done? What has happened to God's people? What has happened to the presence of God? We've been scattered. Folks, there is no compassion in church anymore for those that are lost. Nonetheless, those that are saved and going down paths that's leading them to darkness. There's no hands that are reaching out. Listen, church down the road, you can't do it on your own. We've got to do it together. This world wants to divide us. It wants to break in and rip us apart. But I have compassion on you. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 9? As he saw the great need, he had compassion on them. What's lacking in us as a church, not this church alone, but every church, is that we don't have compassion the way that Jesus has compassion. But it says that Nehemiah fell down in great compassion for the state of Jerusalem. And he called out on God. Folks, what we have to do in this moment, right now, we have no time to waste. Hear me when I say we have no time to waste. Lives and eternities are in the balance today. Nehemiah, at the hearing of the Jerusalem that he loved, the combination and the combined body of Christ, of God being separated, what's the first thing that he did? He went into prayer. There's no time to waste, Christian. Prayer is our lifeline to God. It is the only thing that communicates our heart to him and his heart to us. Nehemiah went into fasting and praying for days before he did anything. Folks, we hear great words and we go, we're going to do something. We got to do something for God. I have compassion. I have zeal. I have devotion. I'm going to go do something for God. And then you run around and you go, wait, there's nothing to be done. Hold on a second. Where do we start? Man, this is broken over here. Do we start over here? This is broken. Where do we start over here? Does anybody have a plan? Does anybody have any steps that we can go through? Isn't that right? And then when it's all chaos, we just go, I don't want to do anything because nobody knows what's going on. And so nothing gets done. So we have to come to God. Folks, it may take days, it may take weeks for us to pray and ask God, God, what do you want from us? What are you asking of the Family Worship Center? What are you asking from Indiantown? What are you asking from America? What are you asking from your body, Jesus? We are praying to you because if we're going to go forward, we can't go without your guidance. We can't go without a plan and how to overcome the enemy that's already broken down our walls. It's already divided us. God, how are we going to gather this thing together? How are we going to combine under the name of Jesus once again? God, how are we going to build up our spiritual Jerusalem that it might glorify you in Christ's name? How are we going to do it in this last day that when you come back, you're going to receive a church that's believed on you, that glorifies you? How are you going to do it in this last day? Folks, whose heart is that this morning? Who's really burdened about this morning? Who's really compassionate about those things this morning? I can tell you, most people woke up this morning thinking, I'm just going to go because it's the right thing to do. That's not terrible. But know this, the enemy of our souls wants to condition us, to lull us to sleep, to allow us to come in and think everything's going to be fine. God doesn't need me. God doesn't want to use me. What would he want to use me for? That's not his nature for you. When the word came, there was no preacher that stood up and said, we've got to do something. There was no priest that stood up and said, we're going to go fight and tear this up. None. A servant of a foreign king heard the news and was thrown down on his face with compassion. An everyday man. And he prayed. And he said, God, if it can be done, and if you can use me, I'll be of service. I'll go. I don't know how you're going to use me. I'm no preacher. I'm no worshiper. I'm nothing special. I'm just a cupbearer. I just cut lawns for a living. God don't care about your occupation. What you do, you're a child of the Most High God. Amen? I've got a bunch more notes, but for time's sake, I'm going to summarize what I have left because I feel the Spirit is ready for that. Nehemiah hears from the Lord. God gives him grace with the foreign king and says, I'm broken about the state of Jerusalem. And if you can give me leave to go, I believe that God would give me the grace to rally a people, to rebuild the city, if you'd will it. And God gave him the grace. The king gave him the favor. And he went back. And as he got to Jerusalem and he saw the heaps of rubble and he saw the fire still burning in the state of Jerusalem, he wasn't disheartened. Hear me this morning, church. It is very easy to look at the state of America, to look at the state of the evangelical church today and go, it's in ruin. It's smoldering. It's in rubbles. How are we going to encourage the brethren? How are we going to gather everyone together in unity? How are we going to bring forth this end time revival that is going to see so many people saved? How is my household even? My kids don't want anything to do with me. How am I even going to start there? It's so disheartening sometimes. But when Nehemiah saw it, he just had greater compassion for it. And as he entered into the city, he went out from there. And he began to look and see what needed to be done. All by himself. Folks, you don't have to come to me and go, look at all this trouble in the church. Look at all these bad places in the church. We don't like that. We don't appreciate the way. You don't have to come to me with that problem. Look at the problem. And then take it to God. If it's something that God wants to entrust me to deal with, you can build your place in the wall. And Nehemiah came back and he addressed all of Jerusalem and he charged them. You know how they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem and the walls? He charged them each. Each one started at their house. Hear that. Each one started in their homes. And as their homes began to be completed, they went to their neighbors. And so on, and so on, and so on. And there were enemies that came out who weren't happy about the building of the wall, the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah's people never stopped building. It says that they fought with one hand and built with the other as God gave them the ability to do that. Folks, we're going to fight fights in this life. We're going to fight hell to get to church on Sundays. We're going to fight hell to get to church on Wednesday's prayer meeting. We're going to fight hell to get home and just be good parents to our kids, good husbands to our wives, good wives, whatever. We're going to fight hell to do that. But God in His Spirit gives us the ability to face it on both fronts. He gives us the grace to do it because it's not us, it's Him. If it was up to me, I would just say it's in ruin. What can I do? But it's not up to me. There's something greater in me at work that looks at it and says, it's in ruin. What can be done? There's a voice that comes in and it says, I want you to put your hands to it. I'm gonna give you the strength. I'm gonna give you the ability. What about my kids? They're lost. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to talk to them in a way that you've never been able to talk to them before. It's not over. It's not all ruin. There's opportunity for salvation. There's opportunity that it comes together again for unity, for life. There's opportunity. Don't throw your hands up and surrender and say, it's all ruin. Thank God Jesus didn't say that. The multitudes gathered around, heal me, heal me. Thank God He didn't throw His hands up and say, I can't do it. He said He had compassion on them. Folks, what are we lacking today but compassion? We're lacking the nature of Jesus. The enemy's come into our lives. He's convinced us it's no use to try. It's no use to fight. It's no use to put your hands to the plow. What does it matter? Your portion doesn't matter. Who are you? He's convinced us to get out of the fight before the fight started. He's convinced us that God is not for us anymore. The church, revival, all that's for yesteryear. It's not for today. It's too much. I refuse to believe that. I refuse to think that God somehow is weaker today than He was yesterday. I refuse. Nehemiah saw the walls restored, the gates rebuilt, and the glory of God come back to Jerusalem. Folks, we can see it again. Look at this church. Look around. Did you think that you would see some of the people here that you see today? How did that happen? It started with prayer. That's all it started with. God, if I can be used, use me. If I can be God, I don't know where to start. Can you show me? God, what about my family? He'll give you opportunity. What about our community? He's going to give us opportunity. It's step by step, day by day. Folks, I see it. 1 year we've been here, and I look at this church, and I see the foundations of Christ built since we've been here. There's already foundations that were here, but we're building upon. I see Jesus. I see His glory. I see His life. I see... Folks, we had a 15-minute praise report of God answering prayers. He's not done with us. It's not over. We're not going to sit back and just go, well, we're just going to wait till it gets bad enough, and then He's going to rapture us out of here. That's the wrong mentality. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers are back at the barn. It's just too much. We can't do it on our own. You know what? I may not be able to get to all of it, but God, let me get to some of it. Let my house not be in ruin. Let my city, let my job site not be in ruin. Whatever it is for you, wherever you work, whatever you're doing in your life, say, you know what? I may not be able to reach the world or the nation, but I can reach here. I can reach here. I don't want to sound like a broken record this morning with this, but I ask us this morning if we can come together as a church in these altars, together, and pray with one another. Invite God to give us his heart and say, God, we're just a little church in a little town. And we've got a pastor with big dreams. He's got zeal. He's got all those things. And the way he talks, I don't know that we'll ever see this. Maybe that's in your heart. Maybe there's doubt in your heart. Maybe what I'm saying isn't true. But if we can come together and we can pray like Nehemiah did, like Jesus asked us to do, to pray to the Father and say, you know what, God, if I'm unable to do it, send somebody that helps. Send somebody that can. Help us, God. Do you know why? Because I can't reach everybody. I can't. You can reach people that I'll never know. Jesus needs you. Jesus needs us. Jesus needs every church in this community to come back to him. Jesus needs this community to come to Jesus. Jesus needs this nation to come to Jesus. He needs the world to come to him. It's the will of God. So can we just stand all over the house this morning? I've not meant to berate you this morning, I promise. But folks, if you look around, just for a few moments, and you just ask yourselves, what does the Bible say about the end of days, about the coming of Christ? Are we close? Folks, there's more prophecy being answered every day about the end. It's any moment now. It's any moment. What about those that aren't hearing? What about those that don't know him? Is anyone broken over them? Does anyone care for them? Does anybody want them to hear? Who else is going to go? Who else is going to build in their lives if not us? What voice can they hear if it's not our voice? Jesus has saved us for this moment. He's placed us where he's placed us for this moment. He'll do it for you and through you, but he's asking you to take the step in obedience. Can we come to the altars just as a church? I just want us to gather together with one another, praying for our church together. And say, God, help us. Move on us. Give us the ability to do it. Y'all know people. My heart's broken this morning for this reality. I know people that don't know Jesus that'll go to hell if Jesus comes back today. I know people right now, if that's the case, if Jesus comes back today, they're going to hell. Can we pray for them? Like my grandma, they may not even know that you're praying for them, that you're working for them in this moment. But can we just pray? God, help us. Help us be a church. Help us be a father. Help us be a mother. Help us be a friend. Help us be a co-worker. Make us like you, God, because if it's up to me, they're not going to know you, but you can do it. I don't want to see it in ruin. I don't want to see it on fire and in rubble. I don't want to see it, God, that way. I want to see you glorify yourself in your church one more time. One more time before you come, God. Let heaven be filled. Let there be no one left behind. Because we started in our home and went to our neighbors until you restored all and glorified yourself.
just lay hands on one another where you are? Let's go to Jesus. Jesus, as we're in these altars, God. Father, we don't know the day. We don't know the hour of your return, God. But Father, when I hear that you're coming soon, when I look at your word and I can see that prophecy is being answered and that the days are drawing close, I feel your heart of compassion in my heart as I see a world. Father, even at the rodeo last night, I'm looking around at people that don't care about you. That if you came, God, how many of them would have been left in those stands, Lord? Wondering, where did the Christians go? Why didn't they tell us about him? Why are we left here to this judgment? I thought about that these last two nights, God, of all these people, God, and it's overwhelming to think, how are we going to reach them all? How are we going to tell them all, God? Father, that's not up to me how it's done, God. That's up to you how it's done. But I can tell you, God, if you give me your heart and you begin to deal with me, God, and lead me into that place, Lord, God, I'll do whatever you tell me to. I'll believe and I'll have the confidence to step out to those that I can step out to. Evaluate my heart, God. Evaluate my mind, God. Don't let us get comfortable. Don't let the fog of life confuse us, God, in this season, to make us think that danger really isn't close or the end really isn't close. Don't let us be fooled by that, God. You could come at any moment, Jesus. Father, as we sit here this morning, Lord God, and I think about souls, God, that don't know you, Jesus. Let us be a church. It's not just a church in these four walls, God, but a church, God, that lives out your life every day. Move upon us with compassion, that we might move upon others with your compassion. Let us be like Nehemiah, God, when we hear and see the ruins of the state of the church, God, that we don't point fingers. Oh, look how terrible it is. Look how awful they're doing it. God, let us be filled with compassion and say, can I help? Can we help you rebuild? Can we come together in unity, God? Can we do that, Jesus? Will you send me, God, to a place that nobody wants to be sent, God, that we might see your glory restored to the house of God once again? Father, we don't want to be the generation where the church of Jesus Christ lives in infamy, where the world looks at the church with its broke down walls and its burnt up gates. God, we don't want to be the generation, God, that people say it's just in ruin. We want to be the generation, God, that saw the trouble and ran, God, to help, to love, to have compassion on. Oh, Jesus, that you might be glorified. It's for nothing else, God, but for you to be glorified, for a world to look upon your people and say, who are these people? They're not of this world. They might look upon us and find hope in you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. I just pray over this congregation, Lord God. What a people of love and compassion, God. Father, I don't preach this because I feel that these people don't have that heart, but that we not grow weary in well-doing, God. That we not lose sight, God, of what is to come, because it's right around the corner, Jesus. It's right around the corner, Jesus, Father. Let us not get tired now, Lord Jesus. Let us not be moved on the mission that you've given us, God. Let our hands be strengthened by your Spirit. Let our minds, God, be strengthened by your Spirit to do the will of God. People are counting on us, God. They are, Lord. You've given us such an opportunity to be used by you. And thank you, Jesus. It's not positional. You don't care if they're preachers or evangelists or teachers. You don't care if they're masons or teachers, Lord God, or gas station attendants. You don't care anything about that. You've given us your Spirit that anyone that meets us, God, they're going to encounter God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we praise you this morning, Jesus. We honor you. Thank you for those that have come. Thank you for those that are praying, Lord Jesus. Father, every prayer request, we lift them up. We lift them up in their families that don't know you, Jesus, God, as they go home and begin to build their life in you at their home, God, that it just begins to build this kingdom of God all around them, God, that their children get born again. Their grandchildren get born again, God. All the lineage of their family, that they get born again. That their neighbors hear a great noise, Lord Jesus, of your spirit moving in their house, God, and they get born again. Well, let revival be birthed in the last days, God. Let it start in us. Let it start in us, God. We're willing and we're here. Have your way in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, we just thank you. Honor those that have come and prayed today in this house, God. They've gathered, Lord, tired, sick. They've gathered, God, because they've trusted that they'd meet you here. I believe you have met with us this morning. Encourage us, God, to walk out of these doors, Lord God, and be the church of Jesus Christ. I don't want to just be the church when I come here, Lord. I want to leave here and be the church. Help us, God. We look to you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.